One of the most compelling stories in the Bible is the Red Sea crossing. I mean, but God didn't do this just so Cecil B. DeMille could have a really spectacular special effect during the movie. But what if it's not true? Watch this.
For almost 20 years, I've been searching for evidence of one of the greatest miracles of the entire Bible. The miraculous parting of the Red Sea.
Tim, the first question most people ask is, where is Mount Sinai? My first question as a geographer is, where was the sea that was parted and crossed?
So what do you think the crossing site, where would that be?
Well, for once, I'm going to follow the conventional argument here.
When I look at the Exodus story through the eyes of a scientist, then it contains a lot of observations which just make sense to modern science.
I think it is possible to demonstrate that it took place in close proximity to Egypt.
I know that some people would say, well, there were probably 5,000, maybe 20,000 Israelites.
This matter of large numbers is a very, very thorny issue.
There has to be enough Israelites in order to make Pharaoh and the rest of Egypt scared.
Whether the 10 plagues happened is a miracle. Whether the Red Sea parted is a miracle. Archaeology cannot prove or disprove a miracle.
Make the sea small, put it close to Egypt, all of a sudden it calls into question the biblical text itself.
And you cast their pursuers into the depths as a stone into mighty waters.
Where were these ancient lakes and what is now all desert?
And what sort of people could stand the strength of the wind that would part that depth of water? Nobody could stand and walk that land bridge in that sort of wind. It would be impossible.
Why is it important to think about these things?
At the end of the day, we're really talking about a miraculous event of unprecedented proportion, of God's miraculous saving power.
The Red Sea Miracle is a two-part film series, Fathom Event, February 18th and May 5th.
Welcome to SkyWatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is a special web-exclusive broadcast as we're looking forward to a brand new film that explores and examines the historicity of the Red Sea crossing. Joining us via Skype as we look forward to the February 18th premiere of this new film is the producer and, the star, if you will, of several films that we recommend: Patterns of Evidence, Exodus, Patterns of Evidence, The Moses Controversy, and the new one, which I had the privilege of watching last night and is highly recommended. It opens around the country at selected theaters on February 18th. Patterns of Evidence, The Red Sea Miracle. We're honored to welcome Timothy Mahoney back to SkyWatch TV. Tim, it's good to see you again.
Hey, Derek. It's good to be here. And I have a train that's driving past my place here right now. But in fact, I'm in the old trolley stop, actually. This building is from the, you and I love history. This is one of the oldest buildings in the area that I renovated years ago. And it was the original trolley station. So there's a track that continues to exist right across the street from me. So if you're hearing any trains, that's what's going on.
No worries. Yes, you're right. We do love history. I wish there was a little more history with this building here. We've repurposed a building here, but it's just a former grocery store. Taking advantage of things that are old and helping us to understand where we are today and how we got here is something that's been driving Sharon and me, and clearly from your work, is something that you find intriguing as well. We've spoken before about Patterns of Evidence, Exodus, and the Moses Controversy. And your investigations into those aspects of the origins, not only of the nation of Israel, but really the origins of our faith. Because without Moses, without the law, without Sinai, there would be no Jews, there would be no Christians. What is it about this aspect of the Exodus, the Red Sea crossing, that you found so interesting?
Well, in the very beginning, I had heard, just like a lot of people, that people were searching for the remains of Pharaoh's army. To be quite honest, that's what I heard. In 2000, 2001, 2002, that there was people that were searching for this, and I was intrigued by that. But what I didn't realize was just how big this and how important the Exodus really is. As you said, it's foundational to the biblical understanding, and not only that, but how important Moses is, because our very understanding of the origin of the universe comes as the Bible would communicate that Moses was one who recorded it from what he knew of the past, and which was handed down. It's the story of Genesis. It's the story of the Exodus, and then you have Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You know, we have the law and all the things that have happened, and so of the past. And so that part is so foundational. But a lot of people have said that it just doesn't exist. It just hasn't happened. And that was the thing that I've been investigating.
Hmm. One of the men that you interviewed for Patterns of Evidence, the first film, is a gentleman who's a scholar who's really a giant in the field, Manfred Bitak, who's an Austrian archaeologist who's led the dig at a site called Avaris, Tel Adaba, if I remember the modern name correctly. Mm-hmm. I've read a lot of his academic papers because that was a site that was occupied by a group called the Hyksos by the Egyptians. And that's just a transliteration of their term that means rulers of foreign lands. They were Canaanites or Amorites who moved south into the Nile Delta and became the dominant political power there about the time that Joseph was captured and sent off into slavery. But when you talk to Manfred for the first film, he said that there was really no evidence that Israel had ever sojourned in Egypt. You interviewed him again for the Red Sea Miracle, your new film. How has his view changed over the years?
Well, that was the most intriguing part of one of my trips to Jerusalem, was when I had heard that Manfred Bitak had new information. And I was making the Moses controversy, and Dr. Orly Goldwasser said that her friend, good friend Manfred Bitak, had new information about the Israelites in Egypt. And that's when we added that interview into this film and what he had to share with me. And what he's going to reveal is a connection with the word Goshen or Geshem. A Geshem is the sort of the Greek from the Septuagint of the word Goshen, and that is the location where Joseph and his family were invited to live when the time of the famine. And so, but what we're going to find out in this new film, I'm going to show you actually what that location looks like, and it's related to a lake that was 20 kilometers long. And so I've just said the most unusual thing is that what you're going to see is that when the Israelites came in, Jacob and his family, they actually had lakeshore property. You know, I mean, it looks as if this area was a beautiful area. And so it was so surprising because Manfred Bitak in the beginning was the man who sent me on a crisis of faith 18 years ago. And, you know, for a lot of us, when we run into a challenge about the Bible, a lot of people, that just sort of sends them off, and then they become sort of silent, you know, agnostics. You know, they have just these questions, and it really sort of strips them of any enthusiasm for their faith. And for me, I could see that was going to happen. But fortunately, I was actually able. In fact, it was at one of these bookcases behind me that when I sat in the edit suite, I'm in my office now, I was just down the hall in an edit suite when I was looking at that footage from Manfred Bitak, and I had this thought come into my mind, maybe everything that your family has believed about the Bible, your mother believes about the Bible, you believe about the Bible, it's all a lie. And it was like this chill came over me in this utter horror. And at the same moment, like another thought came to my mind, and it said, stop editing, get up, and go to your office, which is where I'm in right now. And in the bookcase right over my shoulder here, there was a book. I felt like I was directed to go to that book and pull it out, and that was this book on, it was called Pharaohs and Kings by David Roll. And I opened it up, and honestly, it was a providential moment, because the very dig site that I was looking at in the other room that I had been to was being discussed in this book. But the way that it was being discussed and what it was revealing was that Joseph and his family were actually being uncovered at that location. There was a palace. There was tombs. There was a pyramid tomb. There was a statue. It all synchronized with the story of Joseph. That began then from going from a crisis of faith to an adventure, and now I'm taking people on this journey with me. So the film that I started to make 18 years ago is now the film on February 18th that's coming out. It's taken this long for me to understand how to tell this big investigation, how to unfold it for people. And so that's basically what's happening. I'm excited to finally reach this point.
Hmm. And you've got a clip in the film because you actually discuss some of that, you know, what exactly led to this this point. And we'll take a look at that clip right now.
This story of the Exodus Sea Crossing is where it all began for me over 18 years ago. I can't explain exactly why I've been so taken with this account that I would risk my own business and personal life to explore these questions. I just knew it was something I had to pursue. And after all those years, I did find a pattern of evidence showing that the Exodus and conquest happened, and that Moses really could have written about these events as an eyewitness account. However, there are still major questions about where the Israelites traveled, what sea they crossed, and where Mount Sinai really is. In fact, after Israel gained control of the Sinai Peninsula in 1967, they searched extensively for evidence of their history. But no trace of the Exodus journey was found at the traditional locations. But have we been looking in the right places? If we can determine which sea was crossed, it could give clues about where to look for Mount Sinai. So now for me, the first issue in the Exodus journey is the Red Sea miracle. What sea was really parted? And could there still be evidence?
So this process then, this long journey going back to 2002, has really been you digging into the patterns of evidence that archaeologists have been uncovering. And some of these discoveries really new. Again, Dr. Bitok, just changing his opinion since your first film back in, since your first investigation, mm-hmm. to where we are today. New evidence uncovered that is changing the view of some of these guys who've had a minimalist view of the Bible all along.
Yeah, I think the challenge is that it's not acceptable necessarily. I mean, I should just say, I've been told, and I've got it recorded, and I can show clips in the future, that it's not healthy for someone's career to be looking for evidence of the Bible. Because in the last 50 to 100 years, that has really turned. People have focused on, the scholars have basically limited the Exodus event to around 1250 BC at the time of Ramesses, and they've synchronized the history of the Exodus to the time of Ramesses. But what's interesting is that we think that this city, this Avaris that you're talking about, is actually, so if Ramesses is built at this time, below it, underneath it, is a much older city, which is Ramesses. So, Avaris. So here's Ramesses and here's Avaris. You know, several hundred years, and I'm doing this because it's deeper in the archaeology. So that's happening at a much later time, or earlier time period. And so the funny line is that the time of the Exodus, when people who say it didn't happen, let's say 1250, the Exodus didn't happen, but it must have happened at this time. So what I'm trying to say is it didn't happen, but we know that if it did happen, it had to happen at the 1250 time period. So what happens is that they're basically saying, well, it had to have happened here, and we don't find any evidence for it, so therefore it didn't happen. But patterns of evidence approach was, well, what if you... how do you know that it happened at that time? In fact, the Bible says it happened several hundred years earlier, if you look at the building of the temple, and I think it's 480 years from that time period. So you're looking at an earlier time, which is around 1450 BC. And if people look at our films, they're going to see that we have this device called the Wall of Time, which then shows where the pattern of evidence shows up. And it unfolds all the questions of in the investigations that I'm doing. They have to do with one big area, which is chronology. When did things happen, and can we connect it? It also has to do with the writing of the Bible. Was there a writing system that was possible that Moses could have used? And that's when we find out in the Moses controversy that there was. There was this Proto-Sinaitic, which looks like an early form of Hebrew. And I, you know, unfold that in the second film. Now here we are, knowing that the Exodus happened. Which way did they go is the next question in the Red Sea miracle. And so that has divided into two different groups.
Well, and let's talk about that. The Red Sea Miracle, by the way, just to remind viewers, will open February 18th. You can find information at Fathom Events. The website for Fathom Events will give you the URL for that here before the end of this broadcast. Two main views that you discovered, and I find it interesting that there are some archaeologists you interviewed, including David Roll and Bryant Wood, who disagree with the official timeline that Egyptologists have established and argue that, yes, there is evidence for an Israelite presence in Egypt, and yet they take an Egyptian view of the Exodus itself and the Red Sea crossing. What are the two main views, and how do they differ?
Well, I always try to simplify things for the audience, but and there's always a challenge with that. But the two that I saw was one I call an Egyptian view, and the other I call a Hebrew view. And an Egyptian view is the modern view today that the crossing of the Exodus happened near Egypt at a shallow reedy lake, and they believe that because they think that there are words describing the location, and there are words that are used in the biblical text that they believe are what they call loan words, words that were borrowed from Egyptian, and those words are giving you a clue that the Hebrew word Yam Suf, this word Suf, might actually be an Egyptian word called Patufi, and that then means the place of reeds. So they think it is the Sea of Reeds, and they also know that there's no reeds in the Red Sea, so that's why they're thinking it has to be in this location. That's sort of simplifying it. The other group is going to say, that's not correct. This is a Hebrew document written by Hebrew people, and they have Hebrew meanings, and they believe that this event of the Exodus sea crossing happened at much further away from Egypt, at the Gulf of Aqaba. And they point to other verses, and including the ones that Moses wrote on the boundary of Israel, that the boundaries would be from Yam Suf up to the Sea of the Philistines, which was the Mediterranean. So what they're going to tell you is that they're going to say the sea that was crossed has to be the Gulf of Aqaba. So we have Egyptian with the smaller reedy lakes next to Egypt, and the Hebrew with the mighty sea of the Gulf of Aqaba over there across the Sinai Peninsula. And that's the investigation between those two different viewpoints.
It's fascinating stuff. One of the key questions then is the speed at which the Israelites could travel and the number of Israelites. This is something that you discussed. And one of the things I really appreciate about your films, Tim, is that you show both views. You do reach your own conclusions, but you present opposing views and give everybody an equal say and allow them to speak in their own words without trying to sway the viewer one side or another. You're giving us all an opportunity to weigh the evidence for ourselves.
That's right. I actually enjoy that. I'm okay with hearing different viewpoints, and I think the audience has really resonated with that as well, because they want to be able to make a choice about what they're hearing, and then we just say, well, what is the Bible? What is the narrative of the Bible telling us happen? And I think as we're going on this first film, by the way, it's two parts. This investigation, Derek, was so big, as you know, when you get into this, and you've done a lot of research on, you have so much information, you're trying to figure out, well, how do I unfold it? Well, in every Patterns of Evidence film, we try to look for this at the scripture, and we say, what key factors would we look for? And there are six main factors in this next film. One of them is a departure point. The second one, we'll start with the departure point, and we know there is a destination, Mount Sinai. In between those two points is a direction, a desert, a detour to a dead end. We call it a deep sea, and then the destination. So there's six points that we're exploring. And the first part of this investigation unfolds the context of it. How do we get here? And then we start to go on the journey, and we start to look at the different crossing directions and the deserts. And then the question of population, like you said, because the Bible says, well, you know how many of those 600,000 men, over 600,000 right. men. If that's the case, then that means that if you had the women and children, it could be 2 to 3 million people. And today, people just say, that's not possible. But this is what the Bible is telling us. So that tension between what is the Bible telling us and what is possible, a supernatural or naturalistic approach to this, you know, biblical narrative.
And what is really remarkable is, because this is the episode, really, that started me down this line of research. It's led to like four books now and three more in the works, was reading at the beginning of Exodus chapter 14 that God told Moses, turn back. And, you know, I didn't remember that from the movie with Charlton Heston. I mean, I think most of us assume that the Israelites were fleeing for their lives and somehow the faster chariots of Pharaoh just caught up to them. And that's why they had this confrontation. God had to miraculously rescue them because the chariots are obviously faster than children, elderly people, flocks and herds that need to be fed and watered trying to run away. But God actually told Moses, turn back and camp at this place facing this thing and then wait for Pharaoh to catch up. So in your investigation, what did any of the scholars you talk about speculate as to why God might have done that?
Yes. What some of them are going to say is that they got, in the Egyptian view, that the forts, that they were border fortresses, and their argument is that that Moses and the Israelites were intimidated by these fortresses, decided to take a left-hand turn, and they ended up kind of caught in the canal system that didn't allow them to get through. And that's one viewpoint that we're going to show.
It's a naturalistic explanation for a miracle, yeah, or the requirement for the miracle.
But then the other group is going to say, Pharaoh wanted them out of Egypt. I mean, why would they get stuck at the border fortresses? And the other reality, if you read the scripture, is that the pillar of cloud was leading them,
right,
and was guiding them, and it drew them to this location. And I think that if you read the text, it's basically making a statement that says that God would gain glory over Pharaoh and his army. It's almost, I believe, that God was setting up Pharaoh for this destruction, that he was not going to, this wasn't going to end well, because God had allowed Pharaoh's heart to be hardened. And Pharaoh changes his mind again. Because remember, in the very beginning, Derek, there's a thing that when Pharaoh hears about this God, he says, who is this God that I should serve him?
So what do you hope that viewers will take away from watching Patterns of Evidence, The Red Sea Miracle?
Well, I think that in this particular, The Red Sea Miracle has more to unfold in the question of miracles today. We could have called it the Red Sea Crossing, the Red Sea Parting. We called it the Red Sea Miracle. So during this investigation, I asked one of the scholars, I said, there's no evidence of miracles today, is there? Or, you know, has there any been scientific documentation? And I was negative. I mean, I was like, and he goes, oh, yes, there is. In fact, I've got the books right behind me, Dr. Craig Keener. In fact, let me just look. They're sitting right back there. I went and filmed him, and he and another scholar had put together a two-volume set of documentation of miracles around the world. And so, in fact, we're working on, we'll be talking about the fact that did miracles happen in the past, and do they still happen today? And that is one of the challenges that we're going to be, dealing with is the question of miracles. And what is the definition of a miracle? Is a miracle just the coincidence in timing? Well, sometimes that might be the case. But is it ever the case that God would actually part water so that it would stand on end like walls of water and the Israelites would walk through like Cecil B. DeMille portrayed? Because that's what the biblical narrative is telling us.
It's key to the foundation of Israel. It's part of their national history, and yet some of the most eminent archaeologists in Israel don't accept this story as literally true. It is obviously foundational to the faith of Jews around the world, and of course, without the Jews, there would be no Christians, because Jesus himself was a Jew, and so this is all key to accepting that our faith is true. And this is a path that I've walked, trying to understand why I should believe the teachings of God. These seem like good moral codes, but what if this just isn't real? Then why should I follow it if it's not actually true? You know, in a sense, Tim, one of the things that really struck me as we were over in Israel last year, in fact, one of the sites you visited was Shiloh. And it was a fanboy moment for me. I rarely take selfies, but I took one in front of the archaeology tent there, the finds tent there at Shiloh, and sent it to Dr. Scott Stripling, just to, fanboy moment. As Jesus told those who were telling him to tell his followers to shut up and be quiet, Jesus said, well, I could do that, but then even the rocks would cry out. And what you're discovering through your films and what we have found through just visiting the land is that, in a sense, the rocks right now are crying out and testifying to the truth of the Bible.
Well, there's more coming. There's more evidence that's coming in. And I've brought this up a few times, that I think that history repeats itself. And in the biblical accounts, what we're seeing is that things that are written at one time are not just meant for that time, but there's things that we learn, and there's almost thematic themes that repeat themselves. And I am not a theologian. I am a filmmaker. But I do know enough to know that I believe that, and I think a lot of people are concerned about what the future is. And these films, I see them, as I had thought and prayed about this, that these are films of remembrance and forewarning. So what does that mean? I don't know. I'm just telling you that I think that these films are not just about the past. I think that we have to understand what has happened so that we have this foundation. And I'm just helping myself. I'm on this journey myself, by the way. We have a book called The Filmmaker's Journey, which is my backstory in the first film. But I've been fortunate to basically go through this process of having a crisis of faith, searching for a pattern of evidence, finding it, and then filming myself. And I found that other people have appreciated that journey, and they've had the same questions or similar questions, and I'm just sharing this journey. So that's the idea here. And so getting back to February 18th is the part one of the Red Sea miracle. And you, by the way, they can go to our website, patternsofevidence.com, patternsofevidence.com, and get tickets. And it really helps if you get tickets early, because you can pre-buy them. You put your zip code in, it'll show you, you can look at a trailer and then purchase tickets. You put your zip code in there, it tells you the theaters that are near you. And some people, everyone who's been to our films, I mean, most of them say, I wish I would have brought somebody. So what I'm encouraging people is to, invite your Bible study group or your small group or your youth group, invite your church or what your synagogue or whatever, to come and see this film on Tuesday night. It's going to be quite an event. Our films have intermissions, by the way. We have intermissions, and then afterward, there's a panel discussion.
Fascinating. I just did this here and entered our zip code and found that we've got theaters in Springfield, Missouri, Joplin, Missouri, Fayetteville, Arkansas, within our circle of influence here in the Ozarks. You'll find the website patternsofevidence.com. The film Red Sea Miracle Part 1 opens Tuesday. It's a one-night event. Fathomevents.com is the other website you could go to, but patternsofevidence.com, easier to remember, I think, and easier to find the film you're looking for. Part 2 comes out in May. Tim, one final question. I noticed with some interest that you have an outreach to younger people, students, the Young Explorers series. How do kids respond to this evidence, the patterns of evidence that you've uncovered in the Holy Land?
Well, there's an interesting... first of all, they like it because it's an adventure. And one of the reasons why I wanted to start to show kids evidence is because we just had one of our editors here. His son was in Sunday school class, and the teachers were talking about things, and they kind of said something about their faith and how do they know. And people were saying, well, I don't know if any of this is true or whatever. And his son said, wait a minute, you have to see these movies. This is true. We have evidence. And he was very, very much defending the whole story of the Exodus and the alphabet, and because he had been, you know, he had seen it. And so he became a champion because he believed in it. And he was just a young, you know, he's probably about 12 years old. And so that's why we created this other series called Young Explorers. And it was an experiment to see, well, what would we do if we were to start to do children's programming? And that's the goal that I have, is I want to start producing, when we can get enough resources, we want to keep producing children's programming, because I've heard there's just nothing. I mean, yeah. There is a huge vacuum, and that's why I produced the first, I think it's 5 episodes, but in half hours we created it to 7. And we have a homeschool curriculum series for people that are also interested. That's Young Explorers. So these films, the goal is to keep making more patterns of evidence films. So right now, once again, the Red Sea Miracle is February 18th. You can get your tickets right now. And then May 5th will be part 2. And all right, you go to patternsofevidence.com for the tickets.
Patternsofevidence.com. And Tim, we'd like to have you back before part 2 premieres in May, if we can do that.
That'd be great. I'd love to.
All right. Tim Mahoney is the producer of The Red Sea Miracle, Part 1, part of the Patterns of Evidence series. Again, one night in theaters, February 18th. Get your tickets at patternsofevidence.com. Again, there's a theater finder at the website. We just entered your zip code, and it will point you to where in your area you can see The Red Sea Miracle, Part 1. Highly recommended, as with Tim's other films. Tim, thank you for your time today, and we look forward to talking with you again.
Oh, great to be on the program, Derek. Thank you.
And we thank you for watching. As we keep watch, I'm Derek Gilbert. This is a web exclusive from SkyWatch TV.